Hello and welcome to That's My First Pod. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
The podcast all about King of the Hill. And we're not even halfway through, but we're making progress going through our top 50 list. So how is your week?
Pretty chill. This weekend's been pretty chill. I watched Lightyear. So that was fun. I enjoyed the movie. I thought it's a really good Pixar movie. I enjoyed that a lot. And I did storm out of a card collectible shop this weekend in anger.
Did they not have the right cards?
Okay. I don't know if people are going to make fun of me in the podcast, in this, our listeners, but just bear with me, guys. Bear with me. So I'm at this card store, and I go up, and I'm like, oh, you know, I want to buy a few cards from this box. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I want to buy 4 packs. And the girl there, she's a younger girl, I would say early 20s, maybe late teens. So like college person, maybe high school summer job. I don't know. But there's only 2 packs in there. And I'm like, oh, well, are you guys opening another box to replace that box? And then she gave me this look like, oh, it's going to be such a hassle and I don't want to do this. And she's like, I don't know. So I bought the 2 packs. And in my face, she opens another box and puts another box out there. Is that not aggravating?
I mean, I don't have a specific experience like that, but I can see how I'd be upset.
I don't know. I was angry about it. I also have a problem with this store. Because if you're not... They don't treat all the customers equal. I kind of get it, but they spend more time with like people who spend more money there, if that makes sense. And I'm like, I have a lot of money. I don't know. I'm venting. Maybe I should start a venting podcast. What was that? On Family Guy? Grinds My Gears.
Oh, yes. What really grinds my gears? Yeah.
I should have my own Grinds My Gear segment. But I was just really upset. So I like said really loudly that this is the worst customer service I've ever had, which is probably not true. I've had very bad customer service in my life. And then I vowed never to shop there again. And since I am a person of my word, I will not shop there again. Bad service is just a turnoff for me. That's a deal breaker, guys.
Yeah, though I don't think that's a bold statement to make. I think most people would agree with you. Getting bad customer service is not something that you're going to put up with.
Yeah, I just wonder, I guess I'm venting, but I guess I wonder if it's a generational thing. We're kind of older. Is like giving good customer service like a outdated thing? Because I don't know. One of my first jobs was retail. I worked the customer service desk at a Sears. So I know a lot about customer service. So I don't know. Is it an outdated thing? Is it because Amazon is taking over? People don't know how to interact?
I don't know. I've always want good customer service. I don't think it's a outdated thing. I think now people, I guess it depends. I feel like if you go to like lower end stores or whatnot, the customer service is not that it's worse. It's just not as present. Like, you know, you might walk around and you need to find something. So then you have to like actually pull somebody aside and like, hey, can you help me? And then on the flip side with, you know, like the higher end places, you have the people just like all over you like, oh, can I help you find this, sir? Can I help you find this, sir? So, but in either way, it's still customer service. It's just one you have to be more proactive than the other.
Yeah, but that was my week. Oh, and my friend asked me to be his best man at his wedding. I guess that's kind of
nice.
Something that happened. I'm really nervous about it because I've never been a best man before. Have you been a best man?
I have. 9 years ago now. Yep. One and only time I've been a best man, and it was pretty fun.
I'm nervous about the speech. It's pretty straightforward.
It's not that bad. I will say, pro tip, you might want to drink a beer beforehand or something just to loosen yourself up. Not too much. Like, you don't want to drink so much to where you're just slurring your speech and telling offensive jokes or whatever. Just enough to, like, you know, level yourself out or whatever. You know, a beer. You know your limits. Yeah. That's pretty much what I did before my speech. And then I actually wrote my speech down. And I wouldn't say I, like, read it verbatim, but pretty close.
I mean, but you're... I don't know if we talked about this before, but you used to do stand-up. I feel like you're more, like, I don't know. I feel like you're creative in that way to write a speech. I did look at Fiverr to see if there are any best man speech writers, and there are, and they are very expensive.
I was going to say, I'd be shocked if there weren't, because there's apparently, like, a whole service. I don't know about for men, though I would be shocked if they didn't have it for men. So for women, there's like a bridesmaid or best maid of honor service. So like, if for whatever reason you don't have a bridesmaid or best friend to come to your wedding, you can actually hire this woman to come and do that for you. And or I get not bridesmaid, but a maid of honor. And I'd imagine they'd have the exact same thing for men, you know, groomsmen or best men that you can like hire, or hire a ghostwriter for your best man speech.
Yeah, that I'm nervous about the speech. I'm also like, how do I set up a bachelor party? Like, what goes into it? You know,
that I can't help you with, because our bachelor party was incredibly ad hoc. Like, right before the right after the rehearsal dinner, the night before the actual wedding, we had the bachelor party. And it was literally just like, we're in downtown Austin. I'm like, let's go take him out to some of the bars or whatever. Like, just this incredibly ad hoc, made it up as we went. Like, there was no planning going into it. So
I have been requested that the bachelor party not be the night before the wedding by his fiance. So,
pro tip, you should not do that. Absolutely.
Well, we shall see. But I guess that was my week. How was your week?
Not too bad. I enjoyed it overall. I was under the weather on Saturday, so I was just kind of chilling. But Sunday, I went over. We got brunch with a friend, and we practically, I wouldn't say all over San Francisco, but we did a lot of walking that day, because we went and got brunch like in a neighborhood that was pretty decently far west in the city. And, you know, I took the bus there, and then we just wound up walking all the way back. So it was fun, but it was nice and, you know, tiring. Nice to catch up and all that stuff. Good food. I caught a movie on Netflix, or one of those things, and I can't for the life of me remember what it was that I watched. I guess that goes to tell you that it wasn't that great, because I would have remembered had it been awesome. But Spiderhead, that's what it is. I watched that. It was all right. I don't know exactly how I felt about it. I think it was written, I don't know, it was written pretty well. The quote-unquote twist at the end I didn't really care for, though. But, you know, I guess teach their own.
Oh, interesting. I wanted to see that movie, but I mean, I guess it's not like I'm paying for it. That's like Chris Hemsworth, Miles Teller, right?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe I'll save it for a rainy day. Maybe I'll save it for my flight. I am flying out soon.
Yeah. Netflix, I feel like, doesn't have the good shows it once did. Like, I remember early Netflix days, like, almost everything they made was golden now. And I think that might also be because they only made like two shows a year or something like that. Like, it was few and far between. Like, there was a point in time in like the early 2010s where the only shows made by Netflix were like Orange is the New Black and House of Cards. And now there's just infinite shows on Netflix that are made by Netflix. Some are good and a lot are mediocre.
Oh yeah. I've been enjoying Umbrella Academy, the new season. I like it. I've heard mixed reviews, but I'm enjoying it.
I have not seen that, but I want to. There was one movie, if you just don't mind, like, dumb action or whatever, that was a Netflix film that I saw a while ago, Gunpowder Milkshake. It's almost like a gender-swapped John Wick is the best way I know how to describe it, because it's got Karen Gillan as, like, the lead, and there's a whole underground assassin society and stuff like that, so... Yeah, it's the best way I know to describe it. It's like it's a gender swapped John Wick, but it's also, I don't know if I'd actually say it's a comedy, but it's definitely funnier. Or they're trying to go for a little bit more on the funny side, if I should say.
I might have to check that out. I'll add that to my list of things, my growing list of things I need to watch.
Yeah, overall it was good, and then of course there's a. You see, so Karen Gillan is the main person. Then there's also Angela Bassett, Carla Gugino, Michelle Yeoh, who's pretty much good in everything she's in.
Yes, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. I can't wait to watch that again. I can't wait for it to come out on Blu-ray. That's a buy movie for me.
I have it. I have the digital download of it. I still need to watch it. It's been on. We've got a 4-day weekend coming up, so I'll go ahead and I'll watch that along with like everything else. Everybody's telling me I need to. I'm not caught up on The Boys like at all. I'm still on season one, so everybody's telling me I need to like get on that. So maybe I'll do that as well.
I'm gonna be honest. I might get hate for this. I know I'm very controversial this episode. Boys season one, I love. Season two, I felt was a little slower, and season three is. I don't feel the hype as much. Maybe I'm just not in it. Maybe I'm superheroed out. I hope not, because Thor's coming out soon.
I heard a review. Granted, it's just one review, but I heard the review that some people are claiming it's the best Marvel film to date. So that's a very high bar to clear. But we'll see. We've got 10 days before it comes out. So,
oh man. I've only heard one reviewer talk about it, and they said that it was a great setup for Thor 5, which worries me a little bit.
I mean, he is a cash cow now for Marvel ever since Ragnarok, so makes sense.
Yeah, I just wonder if this is like they erased Thor 1 and 2 from our memories. You know, they're like, Thor 1 and 2 didn't happen. This is like... the real Thor trilogy, the Taika Waititi trilogy of Thor movies.
Maybe, who knows? Maybe they're just like, yeah, let's pretend 1 and 2 never happened, and let's just focus on Ragnarok, Love and Thunder, and then whatever the fifth one they make is going to be.
Yeah, because if he gets 6, if Taika Waititi directs 6, oh no, sorry, 3, 4, if he directs 5, that will be 3 Thor movies, like his own trilogy almost.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know, I guess the Taika Waititi definitely has like this magic touch with his films, so I'm supportive of him making another one.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy his humor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, speaking about humor and customer service and all that stuff, let's talk about the king of customer service, Hank Hill. Let's see. So this episode, we are doing Redcorn Gambles with His Future. This is season 9, episode 11, so we're getting into the later seasons. It's an alright episode. I've always said, like, I think past season 7, it starts to become iffy for me as a show, because I think they got new writers, and they got a new direction and everything, and it almost seemed like, in a lot of ways, they retconned the show, like the past, like a lot of the episodes that happen in the later seasons, like are in a stark contrast to the continuity that was set up in the earlier episodes. But, you know, this one was actually a good one, and that's why it's on the list. So we start with, like a Italian restaurant or whatever, and Buck Strickland and Hank are having lunch, and waitress comes up and Buck's getting ready to order and he's trying to flirt and he's like, oh, so what would you recommend to these couple of big spenders? And with her kind of like, oh, I'm so over this look in her eyes, she's like, well, my boyfriend likes the surf and turf. And then, of course, Buck realizes, oh, she's in a relationship. So he's like, medium pizza, two waters, tap, please. And then Hank's like, well, thank you for taking me out, Mr. Strickland. But Buck's like, oh, this isn't a social gathering. You remember the Strickland Propane Family Fun Day? And Hank's like, of course, we haven't done that in 5 years. And Strickland's like, well, great. We're going to throw this party in lieu of getting you all health insurance. And you're the one who's in charge of putting it together. Hank's honored to put it together. It's funny because he's not even mad about the fact that he's not getting health care or whatever. He's just like, I will take this with the most seriousness I can. And then all of a sudden, you know, a band comes up to play. It's Big Mountain Fudge Cake, which is John Redcorn's band that he plays with Elwin and Lucky, who are characters we meet a little later. So we've met him in a few episodes prior too. They are playing rock music, like almost just like really bad 80s hair metal music, I guess you could say. The band does not fit the environment they're playing in. And the music's, I wouldn't say dirty, it just doesn't sound great. Like, it sounds super distorted. And then, of course, John Redcorn's hard rock voice is just annoying. So Buck and Hank leave. They don't even eat their food. They just bounce, I think. And then they, Hank is put completely in charge of it. Like, he, you know, at first he's like, well, I'll create a short list of, and Buck's like, oh no, this is your thing. That's what I'm delegating it to you. And then Buck drives off and Redcorn overheard the conversation and he's like, oh, you're done already? And Redcorn's like, oh yeah, we've been fired from playing for free. And Lucky's like, either we are ahead of our time or we are way behind. And Hank just like, well, good luck to you. Try to walk away. And then Redcorn's like, oh, I overheard your conversation that you guys need to play a band, or you guys need a band to play, or you need entertainment. And Hank's like, uh-huh. And he's like, we could really use a break. And then Hank's like, oh, well, that's nice. Oh, I got to get home to the family. So he leaves. Hank goes home. He's buttering his toast, and he guess he's buttering it so hard that he breaks it. And Peggy's like, Hank, that's the third piece of toast you broke. You're always so careful with buttering your toast. And Hank's just worried about the whole family fun day. And he's like, if I get enough meat, do you think that'll count as entertainment? And Bobby's like, oh, you have to have entertainment. And Peggy's like, that's right. Entertainment's the only thing that distracts people from how much they don't like each other. I like how seriously Hank has taken this whole thing. Like, he's treating it as if like his life or his future of employment depends on it.
Well, I feel like it's that thing of Hank's where Buck is like in Hank's life. Buck is like way up there. So this is like, I'm letting you fly solo, or I don't know how to describe it, but I think it's because it came from Buck that Hank is this way about it.
Yeah, I guess maybe because it did come from Buck. Hank does have an odd respect for Buck Strickland. Like, Buck Strickland is not a respectable man at all. But for whatever reason, Hank is, like, enamored by him. My theory is it's because Buck essentially saved Hank from having to work at, where is it, Jeans West the rest of his life. Because, you know, Buck was a customer at Jeans West and introduced Hank to the world of propane and really changed the direction of his life and gave him a career and everything. So I think Hank is willing to look past everything negative about Buck for that. But yeah, it's, and then Redcorn's band is just awful. It's not even like objective or like, oh, it's not my cup. It's just a bad band.
So you will not let them play your work function.
Not unless I was like, I would have them play at the end if I'm trying to get everybody to leave. So, you know, clear out the place.
You know, I do think they're ahead of their time. I think eventually we're going to get there, but it's just not this moment.
Maybe. Well, we're back at Strickland, and we see Hank is given like a, not really a charcuterie board, but he's giving a meat and cheese plate to Joe Jack to try out, and, you know, I guess kind of taste test for the party. And Joe Jack's eating it, and he asks, like, well, what will I be listening to when I eat this? So kind of, it kind of solidifies the fact to Hank that they need entertainment. Buck walks in, and Hank's like, oh, everything's going great, sir. And he's like, oh, great, because I just went to Strickland West, and they've had a bad year for general disgruntlement, so you better have a good one. And then Hank's like, oh, how can I find a band who wants to play for under $100? And I don't know where John Redcorn shows up with his boombox, and this is kind of his audition, if you will. He plays the boombox, and clearly everybody in the store hates it. But he's kind of rocking out to it, and Hank just turns it off, and he's like, look, I'm not going to hire you. And Redcorn is hurt by this. He's just like, oh. He's like, I started doing the massage thing to pay the bills. But then one day you wake up and you're 40, so he's just kind of like upset that his life didn't go the way he wanted it to, which, you know, happens. And he leaves, and Hank just suggests, well, why don't you just stop waiting for other people to make things happen? You got to bet on yourself. And Redcorn's like, yeah, I'll do that. And Joe Jack is sucking helium in the other room, just doing the, you know, the squeaky voice, which I've never actually been able to pull off. I've tried many times. Hank is now driving, so we cut to a scene. He's driving the truck. He's on his phone. He shouldn't be driving and talking, but he is. And he's talking about, he's talking to, I guess, Joe Jack, and he's like, yeah, so I was talking to the guy, and he offered honey mustard, and I almost took a swing at him. But long story short, I got a good deal on classic yellow. So what did the pony guys say? What? What do you mean, pony season? And then Hank drives by Redcorn's property and sees, you know, they're clearing land and there's construction and stuff. So he stops by to see what's going on, and Redcorn shows that he is building a casino. He is taking Hank's advice, building a casino for himself where he can headline every single night. And, you know, they thank Hank for the idea, and Hank is not thrilled about the results here. I guess, like, on one hand, I kind of feel for Redcorn. Because, you know, a lot of people have those rock and roll dreams and, you know, oh, I'm, especially at, maybe not so much in Arlen, Texas. Like, if you have a rock and roll dream, you should probably leave Arlen and go to maybe, I don't know. Heck, even Austin would probably be a better bet than staying in Arlen, but go to L.A. or something. But, like, you see a lot of that in L.A. where you'll see people who go to L.A. with, like, the dream of becoming a Hollywood star or something. And then they just work a bunch of odd jobs, like a waiter or barista or whatnot, thinking, oh, I'm just going to do this until I pay the bills. And then what winds up happening is a lot of them, I mean, statistically speaking, most never break out and, you know, become a big star. So a lot of them wind up after 3 years or whatever moving back to wherever it is they came from. Many, you know, I guess, find a niche for themselves and stay. But, yeah, I kind of feel for John Redcorn on that one.
Well, I like that he's taking matters into his own hands. He's like, I'm going to build a casino. Not because he's like, I want a casino. But he's like, I'm building it so I can play there. He's making his own opportunity, like Hank suggested.
Absolutely. I do like that. That he is like, hey, I'm going to build a casino. Not because I want to own a casino, but this will, like, you know, nobody will hire me to play my music, so I'll just create my own venue to play music. But then, of course, I'll have a gimmick so that people will show up. Because I guess if it was just like John Redcorn's Music Hall, people probably wouldn't show up. But, you know, if there's a casino or something to do, people will.
On this note, what kind of mustard guy are you?
Honey mustard. Or Dijon. I actually like Dijon mustard, which I know to some people is sacrilegious, but I am a fan.
I also like Dijon mustard now. Like, that is my go-to mustard, is Dijon. But I don't know. I think this is dating me, but I always think of the Grey Poupon commercials with the limos. Do you remember those commercials?
Yes. Excuse me. Do you have Grey Poupon?
Yes. Oh.
Yep.
So, but Dijon is the way to go. I feel like Hank should have gone with honey mustard. It's a family event, but he got a great deal on classic.
I like dipping fries in honey mustard for what it's worth. But like in terms of just straight up, like in terms of regular mustard or what kind of mustard I like on a burger or a hot dog, I like spice to my condiments. I like my condiments have a little bit of a kick. So I'm Dijon all the way.
Oh man, I like dipping my fries in ranch. I'm a ranch guy. But here's a question: have you ever dipped your fries in ice cream, like a Frosty or anything like that?
Yes, absolutely, okay. And that's one of the most amazing things ever.
At that point, is the ice cream a condiment now?
Ooh, I don't know. Like, if you're eating chicken and mashed potatoes, is the mashed potatoes a condiment? No, I think the ice cream's like a side to the fry.
Well, what if you're dipping your chicken in the mashed potato? Maybe it's a condiment. I don't know. Listeners, what is it? Like, is ice cream a condiment? Because if it is, then we should start making little ice cream packets for our French fries.
We should, absolutely. We go back to the Hill House, and they're all hanging out at the fence. The guys are like usual, and Bill's talking about John Redcorn's new casino, and he's like, I've always wanted to see a white tiger before I die, because of course they're going to have a white tiger in a small-town Texas casino. You know, it's just like Vegas. But Hank's feeling very guilty about it because he feels like, oh, you know, I put the idea in his head, and if I were more vigilant and not worried too much about this party, I could have intervened. And then Dale all of a sudden is like, oh, you shouldn't worry too much. Hey, you know what? Your party needs some Big Mountain fudge cake. and he's like, you know, they're like Bachman Turner Overdrive meets Deep Purple versus ELO. And Hank's like, what are you, their manager? And he's like, yes. Could you believe the spot was open? And so, he asks, are you going to come to the opening event? And he's like, all right, sure. We go to Redcorn's trailer and the guys are practicing. Some men from like this tribal gaming commission or whatever show up. They outwardly they look super white. And even Lucky is like, what kind of Indian are you? And the guy's like, I'm 164th Creek on my mother's side. But they're kind of schmoozing him, and they're like, yeah, you know, you're gonna do a really good job with this casino, but you know, if you go through the banks and whatnot, that lending process is just so tiring. We can actually just give you all the money, consider us a one-stop shop, and we'll take care of you. And you know, it's Indians taking care of Indians and all of this sleazy stuff, but I think John Redcorn's just not using his wits or about him. He's like too enamored about starting the casino to worry about it. So he signs on the dotted line because he's like, oh, I need the money to get the casino off the ground. And the casino's temporary anyway, because once Big Mountain Fudge Cake takes over, we will do great. So he's at a print place, and Hank's just yelling at the guy at the Kinko's or whatever you want to call it. He's like, do I look like I know what a JPEG is? No, I just want a picture of a hot dog. So Bobby shows up, and he's like, bad news. You know, the swing band can't make it, and the tribute band can't make it, and the polka band, even they said no. There's one guy named Bloomers. I think he agreed just because he felt bad for us. He does Imagitainment. One of the guys behind the counter is like, well, I've got a band, and he shows like the band flyer for his band called The Vomit, and Hank just looks at him. He's like, call Bloomers. We go back to Redcorn real quick. The casino's being put together, and they're all talking about the opening night, and you know, they think it'll go well, and Luann's hanging out, and Dale's there too, and Luann suggests putting on makeup. I don't know if it's just like Kiss or like an 80s band or whatever, but Dale pulls her over and calls her Yoko and threatens to attack her and whatnot, so Dale's obviously not too thrilled. I feel bad for John Redcorn because I think he's got, like, even if you don't know what's going to happen next, like you haven't seen the scenes, you know what's going to happen next. Like, those guys were obviously some kind of con men.
But it's Indians helping Indians.
Yeah. Just like the, I just like that they're wearing like the turquoise too to like try to really sell the fact that they're Indians.
Or they're from Arizona.
Yeah, that too. New Mexico.
Yeah, there's heavy turquoise over there, guys. Oh my gosh, what was I gonna say? Oh, I want to see Bloomers. I don't know. I want to know what was it? Imagine-tainment? Imagine-tainment is.
Yeah, I kind of am curious. What is Imagine-tainment? I'd want to see Bloomers now too. Not because I actually want to see him, but because I really need to figure out what Imagine-tainment is.
Okay, between Bloomers or the vomit, where are you going?
I feel like I've heard a ton of bands like The Vomit before, so I'm going Bloomers.
I would have to agree. I think, I don't know. The Vomit feels like you could see them anytime. Bloomers feel like he's going to be in high in demand.
Yeah, Bloomers, well, yeah, that band probably seems like, Bloomers seems like he's more professional, whereas the Vomit is like his side gig or whatever. So we're back at Hank's house. He's setting up a pinata. And he's like, does this seem fun? And Dale continues to push them to book Fudge Cake. But Hank's like, we already got entertainment. His name's Bloomers. And then, Dale's like, well, come over to the concert. You'll see what it's all about and you'll love it. And he's like, yeah, I guess I have to go to the opening show because I got to watch Buck. He wants to gamble with the picnic money, so I gotta kind of make sure nothing happens. And then Bill's like, yeah, you concerts could be important. I've made all of my life decisions at Foghat concerts. I have no regrets. We jump to the casino. Hank is like trying to get Buck to give him the picnic funds because Buck is just like, a gambling addict. And Redcorn thanks Hank. But Hank doesn't really want to take the credit for this because he feels like it's like not a good thing at all. And he gets an uncomfortable hug from Redcorn. The band gets ready to play. And like right as they start, the police show up and shut them down. They just confiscate everything because it's illegal. There's no Indian gaming in Texas. And, Redcorn's like, what? We're gambling, but we're an Indian. Look at me. Look at the turquoise. Look at the hairdressers. And he's like, yes, there's no Indian gaming in Texas. Have you ever wondered why there are no Indian casinos? And he was like, oh, we thought we'd corner the market. According to the show's lore, the tribes gave up their rights to gaming in exchange for having their nations recognized by Texas. And, he can have a casino and they can play for trinkets and stuff like that, just not money. So naturally, when everybody comes back the next day to play blackjack and stuff, or they're given a teddy bear, stuff lie, and they're upset and leave. I don't know Texas law that well, but I wonder if there's a pachinko loophole. For those who don't know, in Japan, there's an incredibly popular game. I've never actually played it before. I think it's like a combination of a slot machine and a pinball machine or something. I've seen them from the outside. But there's pachinko parlors like everywhere, especially in the big city. And gambling is illegal. And so what you do is you'll play and you'll win, I guess, these little balls or something for winning the game. And it's illegal to take the balls off campus or take the balls outside of the pachinko parlor, and it's also illegal to exchange the balls for money. However, they implemented some enterprising people found a loophole. You'll exchange the balls for tokens, which you can take outside of the casino, and then like usually right across the street from wherever the pachinko parlors are or whatever, or like on the same block or really short walk, you can take those tokens and exchange them for money. So it's a loophole that they use. And I'm like, I wonder if Texas has that. Like, could they open a place where he can exchange the stuffed lion for $100 or something?
Is the place across, like, the place that exchanges the tokens for money, is that also owned by the pachinko people?
That I'm not sure. It's either owned by them, or at least, like, there's some kind of partnership or something. My guess is there's probably some kind of partnership, because if there is, like, if there is direct ownership, then it's probably, like, I don't know. My guess is then that makes it more illegal, but then because it's a different company operating it, it's a loophole.
Interesting.
I've walked by many pachinko parlors. I've never stepped into one. I've just never had an interest. Maybe next time I go to Japan, not to play, but just out of sheer curiosity, I want to see what it looks like.
I don't know much about pachinko. I only know it from one Power Ranger episode. So, very little do I know about pachinko.
There's apparently a book and now that was turned into an Apple TV show that's supposedly really good. And I have the book. It's on my list. I just haven't read it yet.
About pachinko?
Yeah, no, it's like that's... I think it's actually like a memoir. But like, I guess it revolves around pachinko. But it's like not necessarily about pachinko. It's like about... Gosh, I can't remember what it's actually about. But it's like a... Yeah, there's probably people listening to the podcast just yelling us right now. But it's like about a girl or something like that. Yeah, it's a family saga. It's about four Korean generations, and it's set in Korea and Japan.
Interesting. Well, let me know how it is, and then...
Yep, will do.
I might check it out after you.
Yep. So after everybody leaves, those con men or swindlers, whatever you want to call them, show up and they're just like, "Oh, tough break." And Red Cord's like, "How could you have known that there was no Indian gambling in Texas?" And, you know, he was like, "Oh, you know, the law's kind of weird, blah, blah, blah. Oh, by the way, I'm just here to remind you that you lost $23,000. And Red Cord's like, "I can sue." It's like, "You could. But then you'd have to use the white man's lawyers, which we have plenty of. But hey, here's something you could sign. It signs away your land rights for toxic dumping." And now Red Cord's just depressed, and Dale's like, "Don't worry, I can fix it." And I like the lucky throwaway line. He's like, you look like how I feel when I run over one of my dogs." So at Family Fun Day, Hank is like really proud of himself. He's like, "We sure pulled it off." And then Peggy's like, "We all did." Oh, okay. Like, I guess she was just waiting for Hank to say, "I made this happen." And then she could say, "We all did." But that did not happen. Bloomers arrives, and Octavio, who is, I don't think we've mentioned him in the show before, but he's, I think Danny Trejo actually does his voice. He's like a subordinate or sidekick to Dale in many episodes. He essentially kidnaps Bloomers by saying, "Oh, you know, I'm going to drive you to the green room." And then he's like, "All right, I got Bloomers." And then Dale's like, "All right, now get rid of him." And he's like, "What, you want me to kill him?" He's like, "No, wait, no, just drive him around. But I appreciate you being proactive." The kids are bored because Bloomers isn't there. And they're revolting, and some threw hamburger meat at Buck, and they're tipping over Port-a-Johns and stuff. So Dale's like, "I mean, if you had fudge cake, at least you could say you tried something." So Hank's desperate and agrees. Dale calls John Redcorn, and he's like, "Great." He tells his band, "We got a gig at the Strickland Propane Family Fun Day." And they're like, "That's not rock and roll. We're not going to sell out." And they just, Elvin and Lucky, say they won't go. So Redcorn goes over, and he's like, "You know, I felt like I should tell you this in person. The band broke up. We can't play." And Hank's like, "Oh, I guess I'll tell Buck, and he'll probably fire me. Maybe that'll be entertaining for people." And Dale convinces Redcorn to play, and, you know, he's like, "You're the core of the band. You're what people really want to see." And Redcorn's like, "Well, I wrote a song about killing myself, but I guess I could change it to be about personal hygiene." So then Redcorn goes up on stage and like, "Here's a song I wrote about when government agents came and stole my land." And then he starts singing, and you can tell Hank's a little nervous. What if he's going to come out of his mouth? He's like, I woke up this morning. I want to wash myself, clean my wrist, scrub my brains out. They'll miss me when I do. But like, all the kids are loving it, and it's a hit, and they're laughing, and yeah, everybody's just really loving it. And Buck's just trying to hit on one of the single moms in the area. And yeah, now John Redcorn's kind of found his thing, and he's converted his casino into like a kids' play place, a la Chuck E. Cheese or whatever. And now he's essentially like the Native American Raffi. And then, of course, the old Mountain Fudge Cake people are seen playing at a bar at the end, but I guess it's a really seedy bar because they're playing in a cage while people are just fighting. So yeah, I guess it worked out from the end for John Redcorn because, yeah, he was swindled by those people. It didn't look like he ever signed the paperwork. They just kind of gave him the option and they realized, oh, he's going to sign it because he has no other choice or whatever. But now he's probably going to make enough money off of this John Redcorn land or whatever to pay the guys back. So that's great.
Yeah, I love that John Redcorn was able to make a comeback and create such a great song for children to listen to.
Yeah, talk about a total 180, because that song's about wanting to kill himself, and then he just changes it to being about personal hygiene like that. Yeah, and it actually sounds more natural, too, when he's like trying to sing like, you know, one of the... He sounds like a kid singer, you know, very... very melodic voice and everything. Like, it sounds way better than when he was trying to be a 80s rock star.
Yeah, and I love when Octavio shows up. He doesn't show up a lot, but when he does, it's some kind of fun adventure that him and Bill are going on.
Yeah, Dale is...
I'm sorry.
I don't know, like, what is... I don't know what his backstory is, but Octavio definitely is like along for the ride of whatever craziness Bill is up to. Not Bill, I did it too now. Dale is up to.
I want to see Bill and Octavio go on an adventure, though.
That would be pretty interesting. Oh, I didn't mention this, but apparently the guy from that Indian or tribal gaming corporation or whatever it was called, his name was Henry Mankiller, which is like a very interesting native name, I guess. I don't know. I feel like that's an alias and that's not his actual name.
Could be. I mean, but he does have a lot of lawyers. The white man lawyers.
He does. Oh, and I'm wrong. Octavio is voiced by Mike Judge, not by Danny Trejo. Why did I think it was Danny Trejo? I guess it's because he could be voiced by Danny Trejo's.
Does Danny Trejo not play a voice in King of the Hill?
I'm blowing my mind too, because I always thought he did. Oh yeah, he does. He's the voice of Enrique.
Oh, yeah. He plays Enrique. Yes. Oh man. I don't know if we have an Enrique episode on here. I think there's only like two.
I think we have two.
Oh, two? Yeah. Do you have both of them?
So I remember there's that I'm not even going to pronounce it properly, the Irreconcilable Differences episode. And then there's also the
one with the quinceañera.
What is that? I can't remember. Yeah, the quinceañera episode. I think we have one of those in our list. I don't remember which one. I don't think we have both. Enrique is a good character, though. He's really more of a background character in the first few seasons, and towards the last few seasons, he gets like more development.
I can't remember the episode's name, but they are pretty. It's fun. I love a side episode. I like when a side character kind of gets one spotlight, and then it's like go back to the bat. You know, not too much for someone, just a little bit into their world.
Yep. Danny Trejo just like on a tangent. He looks like he would be a scary and intimidating guy. Apparently, he's like one of the nicest people you'll ever meet.
I definitely want to meet Danny Trejo. He seems awesome. But I don't know. I'd just be like, machete. to him.
Yeah. Yeah, I know a few people who've met him, and I've heard people talk about, I've heard him on podcasts, and I've heard people talk about him on podcasts, and like, yeah, he seems like a super friendly, chill guy to hang out with. But he looks really, intimidating and scary.
Well, man, I am surprised that he doesn't voice Octavio. That's such a Danny Trejo voice. I wonder if it's Mike Judd doing Danny Trejo.
Honestly, I would believe that. He is like, to do Octavio, he is conjuring his inner Danny Trejo.
Yeah, that's an interesting fact. I feel like I knew Danny Trejo was Enrique's voice, but I also thought he voiced Octavio as well. This is interesting. You learn something every day.
Mm-hmm. Danny Trejo is definitely one of my favorite guys. If I were making a movie, I would cast him in it. He needs to be in the MCU. He was in the Arrowverse. He can be in the MCU.
Gosh, who can Danny Trejo be Gambit?
I mean, he can, but I'd rather him be Magneto.
Oh, well, okay. I guess so. I don't know who. Or Jubilee. Gender swap Jubilee. Give it to him.
Yeah, I would like it. Or, I mean, I know they're filming it now, but maybe in Quantumania he can be, what's-his-face's uncle or whatever. Oh, gosh, I'm forgetting. Michael Pena's character.
Oh, Luis?
Yeah, he could be Luis's uncle. And then he tells, like, stories in the same way that Luis does.
Man, he is not in the MCU. That's such a... He's in the Star Wars universe, though.
I feel like everybody is going to eventually wind up in either the DCEU or the MCU at some point. So just wait and he'll be in
there. I hope it's the MCU. No offense, DC.
Yeah.
You gotta get your act together. Unless you're making him the new Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Then I'm down for that.
Apparently they're making Lady Gaga the new Harley Quinn.
Yes, I've heard, and I mean,
supposedly it's going to be a musical too.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, good luck, Warner Brothers. It's all I can say now. Just good luck with whatever you're doing over there.
Best of luck with whatever you're trying to do. Yeah, I don't know how we got off on a Danny Trejo and MCU and tangent, but here we are. But yeah, that's all I have on the episode.
Me too.
Cool. So we can close that. John Redcorn, I think, well, actually one more thing on it. John Redcorn, the nice thing about the episode is I feel like John Redcorn found his spot. Like, you know, at the beginning he's talking about how he never got his break and he's, you know, he's 40 now and everything. Now it's like, it might not be exactly what he wanted, but he got his break and he's like super popular now and he seems to be legitimately happy. So all's well that ends well. Yeah.
I mean, I'm really glad he doesn't have to do the massage thing anymore. Like, he can really pursue his dreams.
Exactly. So the next episode's going to be Dang All Love, and this is probably our only Boomhauer-centered episode, but it is a good one. So, yeah, we'll talk about that next week. Until then, I'm Jason.
I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.